Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with James Acaster and he's coming to Oxford to do a couple of gigs. Hi, James.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, good to. How did you get into comedy?
I was in a band and the band stopped. I didn't have any qualifications to fall back on because I didn't go to university. So I started doing stand-up in the meantime while I figured out what I actually wanted to do in my life. And then I got quite obsessed with it and it took over. But there was no real long-term plan. There still isn't, to be honest. And I'm very surprised it's got as far as it has. So
What sort of band was it?
it was a really inaccessible band that we thought was going to change the face of music, but people were not ready for
Okay,
it
sounds mysterious. What was it called?
yet. The Wow Scenario?
Okay, so you've been doing comedy for a while now. What is it about performing that you love?
That's a hard question, really. I love it when it goes well and when everyone in the room feels connected and on the same page and that's fun. Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's when it goes well, you can really explore your sense of humour, which in turn is the audience's sense of humour, and you all feel safe and not alone, and that's nice. I think the main thing I love about stand-up is writing stuff and performing it and trying it out and getting better and the feeling of improving on stage as well. And every now and again, you get one of those gigs that reminds you why you love performing as well.
What's been your worst gig? It sounds like you've had some bad experiences.
Oh, I've had countless bad gigs, all the time. I mean, it's hard to pin one down for the worst one, really. The worst ones, we always tell stories of like really funny gigs when we're talking about worst ones because we want to be entertaining. So I always tell people about when I did a gig in the woods and a guy jumped on stage and started masturbating and and saying that that is the worst gig. But to be honest, it wasn't the worst gig because it was memorable and everyone in the audience was still like, pretty much enthralled by the gig. The worst gigs I've had are ones when I was going on stage and they just don't laugh and you just feel very, very alone and like nobody likes it. I think the real heartbreaking ones, especially at the minute, are the ones where it's going really well and then one person will just do something so out of sync with everybody else and just remind you that actually not everybody is on your side in the room. Those are the real heartbreaking ones when it's really going well and then someone just shouts out some heckle about something blue and then you're like, oh yeah, people like you exist. I forgot that.
Oh man, how do you deal with hecklers?
Well, you deal with them on their own individual merit. You usually try and make it funny, so it gets everyone out of that horrible kind of moment. Sometimes hecklers are just wanting to join in, and they're nice, and you don't need to do anything nasty. You just need to be nice back to them. But as much as you can, try and turn it into a positive. But every now and again, I'm too tired and can't be bothered to turn it into a positive, so I don't, and then the gig's bad.
So, how do you write your material?
Just constantly noting stuff down. You kind of develop a filter over the years that just tells you what might work as comedy and what might not. So you're not constantly trying to turn everything into a routine and ruining your life. And then I just go on stage and just try out a very small idea and try and, mess around with it and find what's funny about it. And I do that for a whole year until I've eventually got a show. As the routines grow, you get more of an idea of the structure of the show and things like that. But yeah, whole routines will take a year to write.
Do you ever feature material from friends and family?
No, I try not to. I try and. When I started out, it was all true stuff, all true stories, and a lot of them were about friends and family. And even though they were showing them in a good light, I didn't think people really appreciated it. I didn't, like the people who I was talking about didn't appreciate being talked about on stage and really like it. And also, I just found that the audiences didn't seem to care about true stories from me, really. They seemed to doubt them too much. I just started lying on stage instead, but openly lying. I mean, I don't think anyone believes that in my last show I really was an undercover cop, for example. But, stuff like that.
Do you have a preference about where you perform comedy? Because you're on radio, TV, and you're doing stand-up. What's your favourite place to do comedy?
I think when it goes well, live comedy is always going to be the best place to perform. But I like doing everything as a variety. It's nice to have a bunch of different things you can do so you're not doing the same thing every single night. And the good thing about live comedy as well is that, you're performing in a variety of different situations. You'll do like, a room above a pub one night that doesn't even have a microphone. The next night you could be in a 1,000-seater venue, performing there to 1,000 people. The next day you're doing a tour show in an art centre to 200 people. It can be anything. You're at a music festival in a tent So it's all different, and that's one of the good things about the job, is that it is constantly different.
So, as we said at the start of the interview, you're coming to Oxford in November. I believe
Yeah.
you're coming to the Glee Club on the 12th and Cornerstone Arts Centre on the 20th of November.
Yes.
Have you been to Oxford before?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Oxford before. Maybe I'm wise to book Didcot as well. I should have just booked in Oxford and got everyone in that one venue. But no, I've never done a tour show there before. I've been to Oxford and done gigs before and done the Glee Club so many times. But like, yeah, never done a solo show in Oxford.
Cool. What do you like about Oxford?
What do I like about it?
Yeah.
Don't know, really. you know, a lot of places, they're all quite nice. Yeah, I like whatever river that is that's near the Glee Club. I always find that quite calming. Some flowing water near a venue is always very nice. Yeah, I like the fact that comedians always assume when we're going to places like Oxford or Cambridge that the audience will be really different to anywhere else. Like, oh, this will be a really clever audience, so I'm going there. But we forget that not everybody in Oxford and Cambridge goes to that university or sees that thing, and that they're just like everyone else.
Yeah.
And I like how often we fall into the trap of thinking, oh, they're going to be real clever, constantly falling for that trick.
So you're not going to adjust your material for... No.
No, absolutely, absolutely no point, no point doing that.
Great. So we've already sort of talked about this slightly. What would you do if you weren't doing comedy?
The one job I had, the only full-time job I've ever had, actually, that's in comedy, is working in a school with autistic children as a classroom assistant. So if I had to stop comedy for whatever reason, I would go back to that. So, yeah, I'd do that. I'd probably do that before doing any other creative thing, just because of, I don't know, just because it's the one thing. I feel like I did everything that I wanted to do with music, even though we didn't like make it our job. I was really glad of what I did and what I achieved in that time. So I think I felt like when I stopped working at the school to do stand-up, I felt like I was leaving that a bit too early. So I'd probably go back to that.
Cool. There are lots of aspiring comedians in Oxford. What would you say to them?
Just gig all the time and write all the time and try out absolutely everything. One thing that I don't think people really tell you when you go into comedy is that if you do those things, it will become your job. Like, if you want to be a stand-up comedian, you can absolutely become a stand-up comedian. Like, there's actually nothing stopping you at all. All you have to do is get on as many gigs as possible and focus on getting better. And if you do that, it becomes your job. Like, I don't know anyone that hasn't worked out for. It just happens, because like with other things, if you're an actor, you've got to sit by the phone and hope for a phone call and hope that you look right for the part or whatever. If you're a musician, you've got to hope that this kind of, you know, the label wants the kind of music you're doing right now. I met so many amazing bands when I was in a band who weren't signed and it wasn't their job, even though they worked really hard all the time. They were amazing bands, but they just didn't get anywhere because that kind of music wasn't in style at the time. With comedy, none of that is in your way. None of that applies, because it speaks for itself. If you're making audiences laugh on a regular basis, then you can clearly be a stand-up and do it as your job. Beyond that, you don't know how successful you'll be. You know, you might just be doing the clubs, which is absolutely a brilliant way to make a living, or you might, you know, become the biggest comic in the country. But it will become your job if you work hard enough. And that's what I'd say, really. It's just like, throw everything at it, because you won't fail. I honestly believe that, you know, it will become your job.
That's great advice. Do you still get nervous before you perform?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, definitely. If it's a really big gig, or sometimes if it's not, sometimes if I'm doing new material, or if I've had a run of bad gigs and I'm quite tired and, you know, I'm having to really make myself want to go on stage, get a bit nervous during those bits, definitely. And that's fine, I think. It shows that you still care about it, still means something to you. Often I think when, you know, probably during this interview as well, I can sound quite negative about stand-up or whatever. I don't mean to. And someone once asked me, like, you know, why do you put yourself through it? And it's because I do really care about it. And it's something that you just... I think only really stand-ups can really understand it. I know that sounds quite... It's a bit of a difficult thing to say, is not very helpful, but I think whatever your job is, you don't necessarily enjoy it all the time, and there are bad sides to it. If you really care about it enough and you're passionate about it, you'll put yourself through that and you'll carry on.
Thank you so much for speaking to me, James.
No worries.